When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Beasley switching it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Boyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in everybody to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. As always, we salute the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors. Really glad to be back here doing radio. And by the way, I hope you enjoyed last week's show. It was a two-hour Dynamo special, interview after interview. All the great Dynamo interviews from a number of different players. And I hope you really enjoyed that. That was wonderfully put together by our producer, Brian McDonald. Tonight in studio, though, the up-and-coming, the aspiring star. He would be a top midfielder, I think, if he was a soccer player, because he looks very, very quick. He's A.J. Russ. A.J., thank you for being in tonight.
Sir, thank you. Glad to be here, Glenn.
Always a pleasure. And, yeah, he's done a great job in helping me get this show put together tonight. So, look, we're streaming at ESPN975.com. Dynamo under fire and criticism from their fans this year. They're in a fight to get in the playoffs. Let's remind you, 18 out of 30 teams makes it. No one is without healthy pressure these days. Fans are going after everybody in the top brass. That's what being a professional soccer team is. It happens with the Texans. It happens with the Astros. It happens with the Rockets. Everything isn't great, okay? You can be told that. The bottom line is, when you're on a losing team, with my knowledge of this from being in locker rooms, there are people that are unhappy. So there's a lot of things coming out now that there's interest in Olasanya. There's a lot of different things going on. So, and it finds its way back to me, by the way. Phone lines are open now. If you want to get in some thoughts on questions to be asked tonight to Dynamo President of Soccer Operations, Pat Onstad, he asked to come on the show. I love that. And we're going to have Pat on. He's always good and up front. But we are going to talk real issues tonight. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-ESPN is the number to call in. Silver lining here. And the silver lining is that you, the fans, are speaking out on social media, on various threads, X, Reddit, Facebook, and on. And that means fans care. That's a good thing. It would be really scary if nobody was saying a thing. And the relevancy of the team and the teams, it's at a low. And if we say anything other than that in Houston, we are not being upfront and we are not being honest. And it's just then a pander. The stadium attendance reflects it, and I don't think the fans right now are feeling the ambition. And we'll talk about that with Pat, and I think Pat'll be willing to speak about anything here tonight, you know. And not just the competitive side. A lot going on. A lot going on in international soccer. We saw a 60-year-old get a game winner. We'll talk about that. U of H's Ben Williams tonight. 4-1 over the University of Texas women's soccer. Good for the Cougars and good for those ladies. We want to shine the light on him. The show shines the light on everybody, gives people a platform. We've been doing it for the Dynamo for years. I feel very proud about our coverage all these years from the Dynamo's inception on all my radio ventures here. Currently now at ESPN 97.5. But I got a lot of nice feedback from people about that two-hour Dynamo special. So thanks to everybody for that. All right, I think it might be time, AJ, and you know where to go right now.
Game on, man.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Game on.
With Game On for 90.
Game on, game on.
All right, I say this respectfully, and I want everybody to know tonight I speak with respect, but my truth. MLS is a centralized league. The clubs are investments. Some clubs are more ambitious and championship-driven and embedded in their community than others. You have to ask that question as a Dynamo fan to yourself. Where did the Dynamo fit into that? Seattle fits that category. By the way, the Dynamo right now, after releasing Hector Herrera's contract, they're in the bottom four in roster spend. Community, it's a word often co-opted. It's more than sponsorships, appearances, and charity events. Working with the community, to me, is a prerequisite of a professional outfit, no matter if you're NFL, NBA, whatever. It can't be your main calling card. Competition, winning, that has to be a big part of it, especially in a passionate soccer ecosystem like Houston, Texas. Community means hiring passionate soccer people into positions of influence in the front office. And it means you are using local assets to grow the club and create pride, including players on your team, which that's another issue the Dynamo have. They haven't showcased the locals. And the result is we got empty stadiums. And as a former pro, I can assure you, nobody likes playing in an empty stadium. And yet, according to the Houston Business Journal, the revenues are supposed to be up. It's confusing. Or it might just be a PR wing. Transparency and leadership. Who's the face of the franchise? I guess it's Pat. We'll talk to him about that. Real communication with fans is important. I don't think there's been enough of it from all the people in positions of power. Where's Tim Howard? He said he was going to be involved. Fans see videos, not leadership, from Tim. Where's the investment in media and youth? Houston's a top market, yet the Dynamo lag far behind the Texans, Rockins, and Astros in visibility and in coverage. So if you want to say you want to be with those groups, we're not there. Let's be honest. The playoffs are a bit of a mirage because 18 teams make it. So you decide, what would it be good to fix deeper issues and fill a stadium if the Dynamo get in the playoffs? Will it restore pride? Don't know. Bigger picture. This isn't criticism for the sake of it. It's passion and love for the game, for the city, and for a soccer community with professional roots dating back to the 60s. Houston has hosted Pelé, Copa America, World Cups, Gold Cups, some of the greatest players in history. Potential is enormous. Yet, our MLS product seems still disconnected. And these are concerns not just mine. These are shared by the entire soccer community. It's not one voice. This is a group of people that feel this way. The way forward, we've got unrealized potential. That's the good news. Community, real community is part of the way forward. Embed locals in the roster. Hire with vision and passion. Invest in media and storytelling. Where's the star building of our players? Show transparency and accountability. You could say the stadium's a fortress. You got to reclaim it. What happened in the League's Cup to me was so sad to me. To watch Tigres come in there and dominate that stadium and then have two nights of emptiness against Mexican League teams, it hurt. So I hope people don't perceive this as any sort of a character attempt, assassination or anything. Houston has fans. It's got history. It's got culture. I've been here since 84. I've been at all levels of the game. This is where I'm coming from, if you don't know that. What's missing is leadership and commitment to become a true soccer club and not just a franchise. And Houston does deserve better. The fans deserve better. The players deserve better. The city deserves a soccer club that represents its passion on and off the field in an ecosystem that has got the World Cup here. The amount of people that love the game, it's ridiculous in Houston, Texas. We have to get these unique fans on board with the Houston Dynamo. By the way, the previous comments are those solely of the host, Glenn Davis, and not intended to hurt anyone's feelings. Okay, so I wanted to lay a lot of that out before we get into the Pat interview because I don't want to rehash things. I really want to get straight to the core of things with Pat. I don't want to be reminded that we've been in the playoffs twice. We know that. These are all things we already know. Been in the playoffs twice. Yes, we're still in it. Yes, the Dashers still in it. You know, there is some positivity with the way the Dash are playing. They're still out of the playoffs. They were put up for sale by Ted Siegel potentially. So I do know that. I do know that the owner, Ted Siegel, has also bought a facility downtown as well. Another building, which was prior to, you know, a lot of the fans speaking out now. And the fans speaking out is a good thing. You have gotten your organization to react and get out and now get in front and talk. I wish this would have come earlier, though. I think we should have monthly updates as to where the team is. I would also say, if you spent $18 million on Hector Herrera, we should be on the ascent right now. And then you can ask a real question and say, if you spent $18 million, did we get our value for Hector Herrera? I know what my answer is. You have to decide what yours is. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number tonight. So let's get into some real soccer talk. This is where you get it. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. All right, I think Keith has an MLS question. So let's go to the phone lines, AJ, and let's give a Keith a shot here in a vine. Keith.
Hey, Glenn, love the show. Soccer Matters. I had a quick question about the MLS. You know, with the success of San Diego as an expansion team this year, number one in the West, you know, maybe 1 to 2 years after the World Cup, where do you see with a potential MLS expansion still in play with the league? What city, in your, you know, complete professional opinion, would get the next MLS expansion team? Thanks, Glenn. Love the show.
All right. Thank you. Well, let's see. Las Vegas, Sacramento are two good ones. Las Vegas and Sacramento are good. Expansion is expected. Expansion is a big way the league gets revenue. You know, owners want to own franchises, right? There's a lot that goes into that. They want to hold them. They want them to grow in value. That's the investment part of it. But you can also win titles. I think Seattle would be maybe the model franchise now in the league. But I think Sacramento, Las Vegas off the top of my head right now. You got some interesting things going on in the USL as well. But I think that's part of it. Now, expansion is a big way of MLS acquiring dollars and assets. That's been a big part of it because we don't get the TV contracts like the Premier League or the NFL where TV money is important. And, you know, the whole Apple, whether it was good or bad, I'll let you guys judge that. I have my feelings on it. I think it has absolutely killed local coverage, which I think is essential and lifeblood. I mean, I can't imagine the Texans, the Rockets, and the Astros not doing things locally for their fans. That's a statement to your fans about ambition in how you cover the game locally. And it can't just be a Twitter feed from a pro club. So I'm pretty strong on that part of it because we want debate. We want a lot going on here. Let's go to Novo. Novo has a question right now, so we'll go to Novo. Yeah?
Yeah. Hey, Glenn, how are you doing today?
Hey, how's my man doing? How you doing, buddy?
Okay, I'm doing great. Hey, Glenn, I've tried numerous times to engage you on Twitter on this subject that is of critical importance to me, which means making soccer the number one sport in North America. And I have a plan. I've shared this with you briefly Well, you don't seem to agree, but
I haven't heard the full plan yet. So I do want to hear the full plan, but I don't think I want to do it tonight. I want to do it in a way where we have time and we can really do it correctly, because I think tonight's a little bit more kind of connected to what you're saying. The MLS product in Houston, how relevant it is, where it fits in our sports landscape, why it isn't maybe, well, not maybe, why it isn't doing better, why mainstream media seems to ignore it. This is all truth.
Exactly.
I'm putting this stuff on the table. I'm putting it on the table because nobody else will in Houston.
Get me to the studio. Your studio.
Okay. Well, you know where to contact me and we'll do it. I have to have the right night, though. Okay? All right. We will do that. I want to hear what he has to say. All right. Thank you, Noble, for that call. He's got a very passionate plan, and I want to hear it. I like hearing all of it. I learn a lot, actually, from the listeners. By the way, this is a highly educated soccer community in Houston, Texas. Highly educated. And if you don't engage them and you don't bleed knowledge and passion for the sport, you don't have a chance. You don't have a chance. And I know that because I've had them correct me, and that's a fact. All right, let me talk a little bit. The U.S. roster came out. Congratulations to Houston Dynamo, Jack McGlynn. Big for him to get in another camp here under Pochettino. I mean, look, you got a guy in Houston that's pushing to make the national team. He came out to our event at Senate Avenue Brewing the last time we were out there, and we're looking to get a Houston Dash player out there this coming – no. It's second week of August on Tuesday. It's Senate Avenue Brewing out there. You get the best in craft beer, great food there. We had a great, great crowd. Players are enjoying, I think, coming out there. They get to meet one-on-one with the fans. You get an opportunity, and you get to learn more about people. I mean, the people that went there that night to see a young Jack McGlynn talk about his upbringing in the game – having a 70-year-old goalkeeper chasing him around the field, all this stuff. It's awesome because this is how you develop a connection, even for me, to sit there and actually meet Jack and talk to him up front as opposed to in other environments. It gives you a different perspective. And I think that's an area where the fans are definitely – looking for more of. You know what? World Cup draw is going to be in the nation's capital. I like that. Forget about the glitz of Vegas. Put it in the nation's capital. I actually do like that. That's cool. 16-year-old Rio Ingoma won it for Liverpool 3-2. We have a soundbite. Can we play that one? The game-winning goal for Liverpool, AJ. This was over Newcastle. Newcastle was down a man, fought back valiantly in Geordieland. I mean, at St. James Park. This was something special. And really, we're taking the game to Liverpool, tied it up with 10 men. And then, of course, the 16-year-old comes on the field and bends it in. Here's what it sounded like.
That's something more than the point, which will look pretty princely reward. Got to get the ball into the final third and get it into the area. Oh, suppose I leave it. Look at that. What a moment! What a moment! The 16-year-old with almost the last kick has sent all in Liverpool red into ecstasy.
All right, that'll do. 16 years old. How about that? What were you doing at 16, AJ? Were you scoring goals in front of 60,000 people?
No, just playing high school basketball.
There you go. That's all right. Yeah, it's pretty incredible when you see these kids and you think just how young they are. You look at their faces. It really is remarkable. So I have a comparison here. So the Dynamo had a block party. I think this was Sunday. It was a nice meeting for fans and a great thing. Tough for the players to go out there after a 2-1 loss to San Jose. And from what I saw, it looks like they really connected with the fans. Okay, so that's America. That's the United States. If you're in Brazil and Santos and Neymar gets beat at home to Vasco da Gama, and they got hammered, supporters group comes and confronts the entire team at the facility. Neymar was crying. Kleber Xavier, the coach, was fired. The supporters group was called Torcida Jovem, and they demanded accountability for the loss, showing up at a training facility. So if anybody ever says the pressure is just too intense, it's not like the rest of the world here. And pressure is relevant to everybody in their own way. I get it. For sure. And there is pressure. There is not this kind of pressure. And there's no media pressure here in Houston. And tonight we're trying to bring a little bit of that in a healthy way so that we can have discussion and put things on the table. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's get some more phone calls. We'll have Pat Onstad on at about 6:40. We'll continue with some news and notes, but I would also like some of your thoughts on where the Dynamo are, what you would like me to ask for Pat Onstad based on what you would like me to ask him. U of H over Texas. Maybe we'll get some Cougars fans calling in about one of the biggest wins in the history of the program, the architect Ben Williams. NWSL Commissioner Jessica Berman. We got some really interesting news on. I really am concerned how the NWSL and well, I'm not concerned. It's none of my business. But the way the NWSL is run sometimes is a bit of a head shaker, and I would even say that the WNBA is even worse. I have no idea. I mean, are these accountants running these things? I don't get it. They don't have the integrity of the game sometimes. And the players, you know, they say that. They stick the flag in the ground. Then they do things that don't support that. At the end of the day, a commissioner's got to support the integrity of the sport and its players. It's pretty simple. Yeah, I get it. They got to schmooze all the owners and the big sponsors. That's part of it, too. Man, we got to protect our games. Senate Avenue Brewing, I'm going to give it to you again, second Tuesday next month. Come on out. I'm going to announce pretty soon. We're going to have a Dash player there, hopefully a Dynamo player there. We'll continue to try and make that connection between fan and the actual people that do that playing in that 90-degree heat. And, man, it is hot. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. LamontBrands.com for your t-shirts, hats, any of your printing needs. Jerry and Mel Lamont, LamontBrands.com. I noticed another competing station got a sponsorship from my guys. That's okay. It's all good. But I will tell you, they are the best. Jerry and Mel Lamont and LamontBrands.com. Take a break.
Pressure for a player with so much experience at the World Cup level. at the Bundesliga level.
And a little stutter from Thomas Müller. Hammers it home, and his account officially opened in Major League Soccer. Got a massive dunk of shun from 26,000 people here at BC Place.
And would you want any other?
Okay, you can fade it out, man. That was fun. Whoever thought Thomas Müller and Black Sabbath and Iron? You know, AJ, this is why people tune into this show. You never know what's going to happen. That was a great mix.
We got to keep you creative, yes, sir.
Yeah, you did a great job with that. Shoot, maybe the Stones or Sabbath, or, well, Sabbath's not playing anymore. Back to the beginnings, right? Actually, I think that's biblical, back to the beginnings. 713-780-3776. So, by the way, how about when the drumming comes in that song? I think the drummer's name was Bill Ward, and he did not play with Sabbath for a long time, but he came back for the final Ozzy show and Black Sabbath show in Birmingham, the home of Aston Villa at Villa Park. All right, and Cactus Music would like that. My great friend Quinn down there, Cactus Music, for all your vinyl and CD needs. You get in there, and believe me, you'll find Black Sabbath in there. Their sound was totally unique. Tony Iommi, the guitar player, that sort of ominous sound was pretty, pretty incredible. So Cactus Music, I've sent a lot of people there. If you're into vinyl, which is really fun, there's something about putting a needle to vinyl. I mean, I have some of my father's old albums, which is incredible for a guy that was in World War II, like Lena Horne and jazz, you know, Benny Goodman. I mean, and for me to put a needle to that and think of my father, you know, growing up as a kid, it's pretty incredible. It's actually, I don't know, it's just a nice feeling. It reminds you of some good times in your life in the past. All right, 713-780-3776. Come on, let's hit the phone lines here. 713-780-3776. Let's hit Bill first. Let's go to Bill.
Hey, Glenn. Great show. Enjoy listening to it every week. So I heard you earlier say, you know, does anybody have any questions that you want to ask for Pat on Stat? And so I got one I hope you might want to ask. And that's, you know, and first of all, I want to preface it by saying, you know, I appreciate Pat Onstadt. I appreciate what he's trying to do or seemingly trying to do here for us in Houston with this team. But my question to him would be, you know, don't you miss what this franchise had back in the first 10 years of it? And, I guarantee you it was very hot at Robertson Stadium. But there were people there, and the people were fired up to watch the game here in this town. There was a large fan base. Where is it now? Why isn't it here? And I'm not trying to place the blame on Pat per se, but, I was at the first championship game in Frisco. I was at the first championship game in the second in D.C. I was a season ticket holder for 10 years. I'm not for the last 10 years. And it's for a reason. It's because this franchise just does not pull me in. I got Apple TV. I'm watching games all over the league. I watch our games, especially with the local call with your voice on it. But, I hate to see that stadium empty. And, you know, I want to ask Pat, you know, why are we where we are? When we had Hector here, you know, that was some excitement. I don't believe it reached its full potential, though, and why aren't we like other MLS teams that when a DP comes in and then goes, why don't we get a similar level DP that creates the kind of excitement that other franchises do? And also, why aren't we like a franchise, you know, another franchise in the league where there's many with that are able to bring through talented players that get a chance to get on the field and contribute? That just is not happening here in Houston. So maybe you can ask him that.
I think those are all on the docket. I think a lot of people have put that out on social media. Bill, thanks for that. We appreciate that very, very much. The first thing I would just say to what Bill said about being a season ticket holder, sadly, and let me put the number out again, 713-780-3776. Along the way, and I'm not putting this on the current ownership group, But along the way, when Oliver Luck left town, and I would say from probably 2013, 14 on in that area, you began to lose those people that were the originals, who had the deepest of connection because we got gifted a championship team here. The league back then was 11 and 12 teams. It's now 30 and going higher and higher and higher. And we've lost that group of people. Now, not only did you lose those people, you lost the generational turnover and the free salesmanship that would come with them. In other words, if they're having such a great time at a Dynamo experience, in the heat, by the way, and they're bringing their children. Their children are now adults. Their children are now indoctrinating their children into the Houston Dynamo. So you extracted, sadly, with lack of leadership, lack of vision, you extracted the majority of those people. And you can sit here and say I'm full of it. I'm telling you, I know it. I know it. I have a pulse on this. I have a pulse on this. I've been here since 1984. I've worn a bunch of different hats. I came here to play on a professional soccer team. We were playing in high school stadiums, the Houston Dynamos. We had excellent players. The game was at a whole different place. And now to see it where it is now is remarkable, with the infrastructure, the money behind it, television, everything. But I will tell you, went to be a youth director. I can tell you, they have been extracted. And a lot of them aren't even watching the games anymore. All right, let's go to the calls again. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. George. George, on your mind, what?
Hey, Glenn. Thanks for allowing me to call in. I wanted to mention some things as Mr. Onstad will be on the show. I think the biggest thing for me that I'd like to hear him talk about is, number one, where has the transparency that was promised years ago, and we're reminded of that transparency every year. It just never happens, right? We don't know what's going on. News are not really just forthcoming, injuries, things like that. So I'd like you to maybe pose that, and I'm sure you have a set of questions there, and it's one of them. And the last one is really, can he help us, the fan base, the ticket buyers, whatever, define what they consider success? That's all I have.
Appreciate the phone call. We'll get those questions asked. 713-780-3776. Appreciate that from George. Appreciate that from Bill. Anybody else have any thoughts? Are you satisfied with the Dynamo and where we are right now? Do you agree with my sentiment that how come we should be on the ascent right now? And I also would like to know, what was the year we were really going for it to win the MLS Cup? If it's a process, which we're always reminded of, was it 2023? Because we darn near got to the final with Hector. Now, that was an exceptional year. But then you began to see it fade. I'm thinking 2023, you're going to have to keep Hector engaged the next year, right, as the fulcrum. You're not going to get that same season out of him. So, Hector, if you've got an injury, you got to go get it done early, because you know what we're going to do for you? We're going to bring in a top-line center forward for you to play off of, or top-line whatever, another big name, and we're going to go for it, and we're going to try to win the MLS Cup. You know when I knew it was in trouble? It was when Hector was on the beach, and then all of a sudden, after time off, elects to have a surgery. That's when I knew it was going south with him. But I don't, for me, and maybe Pat will correct me, I do not see that we got $18 million worth of value out of him. Yes, he was a free transfer, but he got paid handsomely. And for $18 million, I want to be on the ascent right now. And frankly, I would want to be in an MLS Cup final by now and probably have won it. Tell me I'm crazy. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. So when we came back with Iron Man, which was cool, you heard in there Thomas Muller's penalty. And he hit the penalty in Vancouver. So think about what's going on in Vancouver, which has been a dead franchise. Let's be honest with you. We've seen these games in BC Place. There's been nobody there. It is a happening now. People are excited. It's Muller's an amazing guy with the media. They got him to Vancouver. Now the owners don't want to sell because it's gotten a lot of fun. They're selling the place out. He's delivering on and off the field. And when he took that penalty, by the way, I hope you go back and look at it, because he doesn't look at the ball when he strikes it. He continues to stare at the goalkeeper and you know, to see where he moves, and runs up and hits it really without looking down directly and watching his foot go through that ball. It's almost a little bit comical, to be honest with you. It's really incredible. So go back and look at the Tomas Muller penalty kick for Vancouver in their win. All right. Well, that was a quick segment, wasn't it? All right. We got Pat Onstad coming up next. We're going to give him a call. We're going to get into our Dynamo talk. I know Pat said he would stay for two segments. It's something we'll do, and then after that, we'll get your reaction to the interview so we keep the talk going. This is called We Are So Fragile by Gary Numan. He's coming to town. I don't even know if people know who Gary... Do you know who Gary Numan was, AJ?
No, sir.
Because you weren't born in the 80s, were you? When were you born?
2002.
Yeah, yeah. You would have missed Gary Numan, I think.
For sure.
Yeah. What do you think of this, though?
I like it.
It's kind of cool, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it was different. So he was kind of a synth guy.
Okay, yeah.
Which a lot of people are playing off these days. Exactly. Right? There was a lot of synthesizer action. And he was a little dark, a little bit kind of dark.
You can tell by the picture on here on YouTube. Yeah.
You're learning some things maybe you don't want to learn. All right. All right, let's take a break here. As we go to break, though, I want to remind you about one of our other great sponsors, Hugh O'Connor's Pub. You got I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. We had a great Monday Night Football out there. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, you get the real pub feeling there. There's old pictures of the Guinness Brewery and everything on the wall. Really clean, great place, great English pub food, home of the Liverpool Supporters Group. That is the one and only Hugh O'Connor's Pub. And for the best in Greek food, it's Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Three locations in Houston. Dimitri Institution, Nico Nico's forever. You got I-10 in the Beltway. You got the Woodlands and the original in Montrose. Let's take a break. Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Pat Onstad is next.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Rolling Stones, if you can't rock me, we are not going to make our guest wait. We're going to go directly right now to Houston Dynamo, president of soccer operations. He is Pat Onstad. He joins us now. Pat, good evening.
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
Good to have you on. Thanks for asking to come on because, you know, we always love hearing from you. So we appreciate it. We appreciate your transparency. Let me just give you the platform to start us off here and just kind of give us your take of where we are right now.
Yeah, well, we're not in a great place if I'm being honest, I don't think anyone's happy with where we're at, the way the season's kind of played out so far to date. So, you know, that's kind of, I guess, the crux of the whole thing. I think there's, you know, a lot that's gone into where we are at this point of the season. But certainly from Ben's perspective and the players' perspective, the focus right now is do our best to make the most of these last seven games and try to find a way to get in the playoffs. And hopefully if we can, you know, make the playoffs, we should be on a bit of a run, and maybe we can make a little noise there. But for us right now, we're focused on the game against St. Louis this coming up weekend.
Does making the playoffs fix it all?
Does it fix it all?
Does it become a bit of a mirage getting in at 8th or 9th?
I think considering, you know, we hit some targets this year, you know, like we've sold, maybe fans don't want to hear this, but we've sold, we had two record-breaking sales this year, which, you know, rips out the core of your team. And that the reality is this is what every team in the world does, bar PSG, Real Madrid, and the Seattle Sounders. They sell players. So for us to make the playoffs, I think would be good that we get there. Would we like to go win a trophy? That's our goal every year, is to try to win trophies. So if you tell me right now that we're 6 points out of a playoff spot and we make the playoffs with seven games to go, yeah, I'd be pretty happy with that.
So the Mikael thing was a great sale, and Coco, I think you kind of knew those were coming because the year before.
We certainly knew the Coco one was coming. If you'd made that pretty clear, you know, we knew Mikael had played well. I think for us, it caught us a little off guard since the goal was to get into Europe, and that's, we hadn't had any interest at all from South America, and had some European teams. Their window closed, and then all of a sudden an offer kind of came out of the blue from Brazil. So that caught us a little off guard. Certainly we were slow to react to that. You know that's, I think I've gone on the record numerous times saying that's unfortunately on myself and the recruitment group. We didn't react to that fast enough, but I wouldn't say Mikael knew it was going to happen. We knew he had a good season, certainly played well for us for the last couple of years, so we knew it was a possibility, but I think we were a little surprised it came from South America.
So I may be wrong here, but I thought the year before you had said he was getting attention during the season prior.
Yeah, from Europe.
Okay. Yeah. So South America is what was what the surprise. So
yeah, that was a surprise. Yeah, not interest. No interest.
Gotcha. Palmeiras was a surprise. Okay.
Yeah, and that's where I say, you know, like from a recruitment standpoint, which falls under my purview, is that we should have been more prepared for that. I think we took our foot off the gas a bit when the European window closed and took an exhale and said, oh, okay, well, it looks like we got Mikael for the next 6 months. Well, let's prepare for the summer and look at center backs in the summer. And that's what caught us off guard, is getting that offer late in the window.
President of Soccer Operations, he's Pat Onset. All right, so one of the things the fans say a lot, Pat, and this is a lot about the fans tonight, one of the things they say is, well, we didn't replace the likes of Hector Herrera, we didn't replace Coco, we didn't replace Mikael with players of equal better ability.
I'll push back, because we got Jack McGlynn, who's a young American player that's on the fringe of playing, you know, with the national team in a World Cup, was on a Gold Cup semifinalist or the finalist team.
Got called up too.
Yeah, just got called up as well. I didn't realize. I knew it was announcing. I wasn't sure if it's been out there yet. So yeah, just got called up to the most, the upcoming games in September. So he's a part of that group. I think that's the replacement for Coco Carrasquillo. He plays in that same position. They're different profiles. So guy that drives the ball and is a little bit different and helps more in the build-up to the final product. Jack is a guy that can score goals from outside the box. He can, you know, set piece service is excellent. So I think you can argue that one way or the other. I think they're both very good players. Hector Herrera, we've talked about numerous times on the show, was a designated player that we made an educated guess on, and the fact that he played 50% of the minutes last year was a lot of money to spend on a guy that unfortunately, you know, he's at the tail end of his career at 35 years old. And I think he was a great signing for this club. You know, I think that's he did a lot of great things for us in 23 and 24. You could tell that unfortunately the game was becoming pretty difficult for him to play significant minutes. So that one, we made a decision that we were going to give Brooklyn Reigns an opportunity. I think Brooklyn would be the first to tell you he's not a Hector Herrera at this point in his career, but we're giving him an opportunity for a young American player to get minutes and valuable minutes. And hopefully increase his value. And he also got called in for the USU 20s for the September break, and he'll probably be one of the leaders in their group when they play in the World Cup in October. So I think that's been a different profile. I think fans could be fair saying he's at the same level as Hector Herrera. I mean, that'd be tough to argue that he is, but I think he's a great, exciting, up-and-coming young American. And then the last one is Mikel, and I think that's one that we have to own. I think we've got a very good center back we brought in now, Antonio Carlos, but probably about 3 months too late.
So let's go back to Hector, and he was on a big salary. You got him on a free, but he was like $6 million a year in that ballpark, right? And
yeah.
You can correct me if I say anything wrong here.
No.
But if I look at him after his career here, I say he was the platform to take this club and have it ascending. And I don't feel like we're ascending now. And I think the fans feel the same way, that when you look at Hector, you say to yourself, did we really get the value out of him long-term for $18 million over 3 years for attendance, interest, relevancy, and an MLS Cup?
Yeah, I mean, I'll argue for performance on the field, because I think that's the better way. I think for attendance, relevance, I think we're still short, and I don't think Hector moved the needle as much as we all expected, you know, from the front office to the soccer side. I think we all expected that he'd be playing in front of packed houses, and that would really move the needle. And unfortunately, it didn't there's a lot of reasons, I think, for that, but also we were a little surprised. I think we're all a little surprised by that. But from a performance standpoint, did we win an MLS Cup with him? No. But we had, most points in in the club history last year. We got knocked out in the semifinal against LAFC, and we won a U.S. Open Cup with him. So I think from a soccer standpoint, I think he helped the club a lot. Now, did we take a springboard this year? No. But when you become a selling club, you're going to have up and down years. You know, again, I want to be clear, we're not happy about it. I'm just trying to explain the process of where we're going. In 22 to 23, we made 17 changes in our roster. And it took us probably till after League's Cup to turn the corner in that year in 23. And, the following year in 24, we had a very successful regular season. You know, fell flat in the playoffs, but this year we've made 16 changes to our roster. And it's taken a little longer than I think we'd hoped to get everyone to gel together, but we're pretty excited about the group that we have.
One of my callers wanted me to ask you about defining what success is. I think you might have said it already, but I'll give you the question again so he knows I asked it. Yeah. Define success for the Houston Dynamo.
Yeah, competing for trophies on a regular basis, like a season-to-season basis. And, first and foremost, I've gone on the record and said this on your show, lots of shows, is that means making the playoffs. If you're in the playoffs in MLS, you have a chance at making a run at the MLS Cup, but it also, when you're in these other competitions, U.S. Open Cup, League's Cup, you want to make a run at these trophies and try to win one of these trophies. While it was a really good run, I think, when we first got here in 06, 07, and Dominic here deserves a lot of credit for that group and keeping that group going and winning a couple of MLS Cups, you got to remember we also had 12 teams in the league at that time. We're up to 30 teams this year, so there's a lot of people competing for trophies. So for us, but it is still about winning MLS Cup. That's the number one trophy we'd love to win. But in the end, too, it's also about competing for US Open Cup, League's Cup, and if we're good enough to get there, CONCACAF Champions League as well.
All right, League's Cup to me. I love League's Cup. I love Mexican teams I like Liga MX against MLS. I'm a big fan of that. I don't think everybody's a big fan of that. That was a huge disappointment to me. With all those Tigres fans there, this was a golden opportunity to make a statement. It didn't happen. And then we had an empty building for the next two games. I mean, it was depressing to me. I have to be honest, Pat. I'm passionate about this soccer community. I'm passionate about the Dynamo. But I walked out of there, and it hurt.
Yeah, I don't have much else to say. It did. Yeah, it was disappointing. I think our performance against Tigres was disappointing. I mean, I thought we had played well until we gave up the goal, but then the floodgates opened and it kind of fell apart, which was a little disheartening, I think, for our entire group. And
we didn't bounce back well against Mazatlan or Pachuca, you know, and at that point our goal was to make sure we're ready to push through and compete against Austin the following week.
Pat Onstad, Dynamo Soccer, president of soccer operations. I finally got it right, Pat. I was calling you a GM for a long time. Soccer operations head. All right. One of the other things I hear from the Dynamo is, and fans, is, you know what? I think we'll hold this one because I'm hearing music and I think we might have to hit a break. All right, Pat, stick with us. We're enjoying having you on. Thank you for coming on tonight. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back with more with Pat Onstad. We'll pick it up where we left off. This is the legendary Link Wray and the song Rumble. This was actually banned from radio back in the day. We'll take a break here. Remind you that Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 is presented by the Daspit Law Firm.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.